Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com.
The trains out at the airport have a worse batting average than the Rockies. And for years, people have asked for a better backup option than buses dodging planes on the tarmac. Our Spencer Soischer starts us off tonight by explaining DIA's new idea to use the underground tunnels, you know, where the aliens live.
Ridiculous. This is, in my view anyway, not sustainable.
DIA's train has more than 99 problems, and a backup plan is one. The passenger train, taking travelers from security to the A, B, and C gates, stopped working 131 times this past year.
It's been a must-ride system, a must-ride train to the concourses.
But Tuesday, the airport and CEO Phil Washington announced another way to get there.
To repurpose our tunnels into pedestrian walkways makes all the sense in the world to me.
Washington thinks using the underground tunnels is a smart play, but it wasn't a quick one. The airport spent 3 years studying alternatives, like a gondola, self-driving pods, and soaring bridges, before deciding on the tunnels.
You know, it's easy to say, well, why didn't you just go with that? We want to look at everything before we decide on a path.
The airport has spent at least $358 million in the last 2 years on new train cars and train maintenance, and the new cars are linked to half the recent outages. Washington expects the project to cost between $300 and $700 million, but the airport is still discussing things like moving sidewalks, which could speed the walk up.
From the terminal all the way out to sea, you're talking about 10 to 12 minutes or so, depending on how fast folks walk.
Construction is supposed to start in 2027 and last for 18 months to 2 years.
Please keep clear.
And the voice of the train is already practicing to be the voice of the walkway.
Please watch your step. The person ahead of you is also going to miss their flight.
Kim, try this one too.
Hold on, please. We are approaching Western Kansas. All passengers, keep walking. The train is still broken.
Whether it becomes a first choice or last resort, passengers will soon have options, assuming the train isn't broken that day.
I think people will use it because we're a pretty fit state as well.
Kim is very scared she's going to lose her favorite job, voice of the train. So DIA, I wrote that, not her. Aside from something they already have, Washington said one of the reasons they picked the underground tunnel over the gondola and the other options were concessions. He says DIA is under-concessioned, and this option would allow them to have a place where they can sell more food and drinks and places where you can buy overpriced phone chargers.
It is not that I doubt DIA's ability to deliver a large construction project on time and on budget, but after witnessing the last 5 years of construction out there, are these underground tunnels something that my kindergartner is going to use before she graduates high school?
Maybe graduates college. I actually asked him that today. I said, okay, based off of what happened with the Great Hall, you guys actually never told us when you expect to have this completed. He said they plan to start in 2027 and then have it finished between 18 months to 24 months. So we have that on the record now. The question is, will it be delivered then?
That's why you're a good reporter, Spencer. It doesn't matter when it starts. It matters when it finishes. All right. Spencer Soischer and the voice of the train, Kim Christensen, thank you. State leaders are fed up with RTD's headquarters being Dysfunction Junction, so they're forcing an overhaul of that transit agency's elected board. This comes as ridership is way down and RTD has a big budget hole. A new state law will shrink RTD's elected board from 15 to 9 members, and only 5 will still be elected by voters. The other 4 will be appointed by the governor and confirmed by the state Senate. Legislators say it's time to get some experts in there, as in experts selected, not elected.
We were never saying, hey, you as the RTD board, you're doing a bad job or you're not the right people. Part of what we were saying is you're not set up for success. Like every other transit agency almost in the country is an appointed board with experts. We just have not set up the people on the board for success to do the job of oversight that we need them to do to make transit better.
All right, set them up for success by telling them to head for the exit. One seat on the board is going to be saved for a member of the transit union. This new law will also boost the pay given to RTD board members. It is not a full-time paying job. Currently, it's $12,000 a year. It'll become $26,000 a year. Should say these changes won't go into effect until the 2028 election season. Colorado's second highest court is reinstating murder and child abuse charges against a man who almost got off scot-free when the DA botched his case by popping off about it to the media. William Jacobs was accused of killing a 10-month-old baby he was supposed to be babysitting. Judge dismissed the charges after that woman. Then Fremont County Republican DA Linda Stanley told a reporter that Jacobs, who was dating the child's mother at the time, was quote, watching that baby so he could get laid. Colorado's Court of Appeals agreed that Stanley was in the wrong when she went to the local media and badmouthed Jacobs, but the court found that it did not warrant the dismissal of the charges. Last October, a different appellate panel also reinstated the child abuse charges against the child's mother. Former DA Stanley has since been disbarred for her comments and various other misconduct. Former Mountain View Town Council member Brent Metz goes on trial tomorrow, accused of shooting a teenager in the face for alleged trespassing. This happened back in September 2024. Two teenage boys hopped a gate at Metz's house in Jefferson County. They said they were going to ask permission to take homecoming pictures out front. According to court documents, Metz arrived after the boys returned to their car. He then boxed them in with his pickup, pulled a gun. The gun went off. 17-year-old was shot in the face. Metz claims his gun fired by accident. Metz is charged with second-degree assault. If convicted, he could face anything from probation up to 16 years in prison. In this coming summer of water restrictions, car washes are sure to face scrutiny. One car wash owner in Denver told our Evan Krugel she's been ordered to cut water use by 20%, and she doesn't think it can be done.
Take a drive through a tunnel car wash, and it's easy to draw conclusions about water.
The natural assumption is to say, oh my gosh, car washes use so much water. I should stop washing my car.
But at Gleam Car Wash off Tennyson in Denver,
we're standing in a mini water treatment plant, essentially.
Owner Emily Barada does things a bit differently.
We are trying very hard to reduce our water use always.
Emily says they recapture about 90% of the water from each wash through a series of grates and pipes that end up here.
We're about to show you the sexiest part of any car wash, which is the mechanical room.
That room is too loud for an interview.
I know, what?
But all that buzzing helps clean the water so it can be used again.
Most car washes are not in this spot, and they have, we'll call it opportunity, to reduce their potable water use dramatically.
That opportunity has now become a requirement after Denver Water ordered homes and businesses to reduce water use by 20% due to drought restrictions.
Right now, we are a little worried that the city wants us to reduce our water use, drinkable water use consumption even more. There's really nothing more that we can do.
She worries a business that spent years cutting water use could still face penalties simply because there's nothing left to cut.
We're actually already reaching out to the city to have those conversations so that we can avoid a crisis.
Dialogue she's happy to have with anyone who can hear her.
And we're really excited to share all the boring, stinky details about how we reclaim water, treat it, and reuse it so that you don't have to worry about using too much drinkable water when you wash your vehicle.
For Next, I'm Evan Krugel.
Denver Water is asking people to avoid washing cars at home as well this year. And Denver Water said they do have rebates for commercial businesses that are interested in adding water-saving technologies. The VA hospital in Aurora has struggled for years with understaffing, and that's led to issues with some specialty care. New federal audit says there's been a backlog in mammograms there and delays in life-saving surgeries. The report from the VA's Office of Inspector General says the facility shut down its breast cancer screening program after the only mammographer there left in 2024. That meant that patients had to be referred to other providers outside the VA system, leading to confusion and a delay in transferring mammogram images between the various networks. The audit also highlighted an insufficient system for tracking and notifying patients that they were due for screenings. The report says at one point there were 4,800 sets of mammogram images waiting to be uploaded into the VA system, and the surgeons had to go to great lengths to track down the images before they could perform surgery. The VA and the facility director agreed to implement the auditor's recommendations, like increasing staffing and improving their image-sharing technology. Want to give you a heads up that next week starts our primary debate series on 9 News. We have the only scheduled debate with all three Republican candidates for governor. State Senator Barbara Kirkmeyer, State Representative Scott Bottoms, and Ministry Leader Victor Marks debate live on 9 News at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, June 2nd. Then on Thursday of next week, June 4th, also 6 p.m., the Democratic primary debate for governor between Senator Michael Bennet and Attorney General Phil Weiser. The following week, 9 News has the only televised debate between the Democrats vying for the chance to face Republican Representative Gabe Evans in what's expected to be one of the closest congressional races in America. Democrats State Rep Manny Rutenel, former State Rep Shannon Byrd, and Marine veteran Evan Munsing will debate on 9 News, June 8th at 6 p.m.
No profit is worth selling products that could hurt kids.
Alcohol, marijuana, kratom, mushrooms, all for sale for kids at a smoke shop in Denver until a complaint from a parent. Stained glass windows hanging by a thread get new life, and we get a new look at their original beauty. Next. An undercover investigation found a smoke shop in Denver was breaking the law left and right. The city issued a suspension order today to Vibe Smoke Shop on East Colfax. They're accused of providing kids with alcohol, tobacco, psilocybin mushrooms, kratom, THC. Denver's Department of Licensing and Consumer Protection says they got complaints from parents about why are their kids bringing home all this stuff from Vibe Smoke Shop.
We hope we don't see this ever again. But we know we're seeing this trend. We're seeing more complaints to our Consumer Protection Office about illegal products being sold. We just haven't seen as many cases where there's 4 or 5 different illegal instances happening at one time.
The city says the shop was also selling flavored tobacco in defiance of the city's ban. That honestly seems like the least of their issues, though, right? Smoke shop's going to have some splaining to do at a licensing hearing next month. Meteorologist Chris Bianchi's like, I can hear you laughing through the wall. That was like a one-stop shop for everything the kids are not supposed to get, right? Like, what do they have? Whatever you want, kids. Whatever you want.
Well, you know what? It sounds like that they're, we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, very good.
Hey, we do have some gusty showers around. By the way, these are real headache kinds of storms for the airport. So just as a heads up, we're not seeing a whole lot of impact right now, aside from some brief gusty winds. But those are the kind of airport headache kinds of storms that we're seeing that are approaching from the south and the east. So you may have some delays you're flying in or out of the airport tonight. We are seeing some widespread showers here in the mountains, mostly south of I-70, the wet mountains, the Sangre de Cristos, and east through the Raton Mesa. That is where we're seeing the bulk of the activity right now. In Denver, though, pretty quiet, but we do have some gusty showers off to our south and east. And again, that may lead to one or two of these gusty showers moving into the metro area later on tonight. And again, the main disruption would be airport impacts this evening. Otherwise, in the mountains, that's where we're going to see the bulk of the activity this evening with some rain and some very, very high elevation snow, really above 11, 12,000 feet. We'll see some snow, but tomorrow we'll have a better chance for some showers and storms as we start to pull in more moisture from the south and the east. So tomorrow going to be a lot more active. Reason why is this area low pressure is going to slowly, ever so slowly, this thing is just crawling in our direction, but it will pump up some low-level moisture, give us a better chance for showers and storms as the week wears on. We'll be in the low to mid-80s on Friday, and then by the weekend and early next week, showers and storms pretty widespread with temperatures topping out in the upper 70s and low 80s, a few degrees above average.
The first time you look at everything after it's completed, you just get a sense of relief that everything went according to plan.
Restoring 70-year-old stained glass is delicate business, and it is finally complete at a landmark in Colorado. Hey, a reminder, you can catch Next streaming each night at 6 p.m. on 9 News Plus, and Next is a podcast wherever you find those. A landmark for faith and quiet reflection in our community is now looking its best after a delicate restoration project. Our Byron Reed has a closer look.
Building trust takes faith.
We wanted to keep a sense of history and some continuity.
For Joanne Seaman, it's her belief that relying on others can be a blessing.
We have a saying around here that Mother Cabrini sends us who we need when we need them.
Seaman is the executive director of the Mother Cabrini Shrine in Golden, where they wanted to protect something sacred.
Our beautiful stained glass windows were also in need of some upgrading and repairs. We walked in one morning and water was cascading out of one of them.
Inside their chapel, four stained glass windows made up of almost 1,200 individual pieces were in serious need of help.
Someone had recommended we call them, and we just clicked. We knew that we would be in good hands once we met with Martin and his team.
They called Scottish Stained Glass, a window restoration company where the owner,
yeah, I'm Martin Faith,
was a perfect fit for the job.
We restore stained glass windows and we make new stained glass windows for residences and churches and sacred places all around the country.
The panes, weighing nearly 1,000 pounds each, took 3 months to complete, every individual piece of glass restored by hand.
Bringing all the stained glass panels back to our workshop here, taking them all apart, putting them back together again, and then installing them back into the chapel.
Faith says the project carried a personal meaning, restoring something connected to St. Francis Cabrini, the patron saint of immigrants.
So it means a lot to me personally, as well as a lot of other people, and it just seemed like a project that we should get involved in.
For Seaman, it was that trust in the process that mattered just as much as the final result.
My hope for people who come to the shrine and see the windows is that they will experience what the shrine is meant to be, a place of peace, a place of prayer, and a place where they can grow in their faith.
For Next,
they're just a really a beautiful addition to this sacred space.
I'm Byron Reed.
Seaman says that chapel was finished in 1970, and those stained glass windows had not been restored in the 50-plus years since. Back with your feedback next. Feedback tonight from Frank, who writes, recycling water at car washes is brilliant. Frank says they should get a pass on water restrictions versus other car washes. And he says it would be great to have a list of car washes that recycle. Hopefully they at least put it in their search engine results. So if you were to look for that, they would tell you who around town does recycle their water. This from Ken on DIA saying that they want to construct underground tunnel walkways that people can use when the trains go down. And the trains go down. Ken says, really, 32 years to admit the walkway should have been built in the first place. Brilliant. I'll give you this. Spencer Schoischer asked the right question, right? When he's talking to the airport CEO, Phil Washington, he said, why did it take you so long to pick the most obvious solution? And this, a text, Adele used to tell us where to go at DIA. Adele used to tell me where to go too, but now she's enjoying retirement. So Kim Christensen is the boss of you and me and everybody else.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News. Streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.